Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
How can a proud alumnus say such slanderous, blasphemous things?
Holding everybody accountable.
I don't remember you as a great passer, quite frankly.
Ew.
Jason Wilde is on Kyle, Brust, and Nortman.
Tell me now, do you want it? Because these dancing feet don't cry to the rhythm.
Jason Wilde time on Kyle, Brust, and Nortman. Alex Strove, Kyle Wallace hanging out with you live from X Golf at AmFam Field. He didn't do Wilde and Tausch today, but he's doing Kyle, Brust, and Nortman.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
I appreciate that, Jason.
Hi, Jason. How are you?
Why is everybody at AmFam today?
There's a Stand Up to Cancer Upper Deck Golf Initiative. So there are holes all over AmFam Field, and there are nine driving locations around the 400 levels where you can tee off and you hit balls, and it's for a good cause and Stand Up to Cancer.
Have you hit any balls at this juncture?
We have not yet. I believe the plan is to tee off at one point. We will not be participating in the full nine holes after the show because both of us have to leave, but we do plan on teeing off at some point.
Ooh, all right. Well, good luck. Hit them straight.
Thank you. We won't. We are about
to hit them long. It's about the long dig the long ball, Jason. They don't care about
I beg
accuracy.
Your pardon?
Yeah, what did you say?
Chicks dig the long
there
ball.
There we go. It sounded right that time.
Sorry. Yeah. I almost said
that
something too
not
crazy.
Not what he said.
That is definitely not what he said the first time
what
around.
What did I say?
I can't repeat what you said on the radio.
Oh, no.
It's typically a shortened name for Richard.
Oh, no.
It's certainly what just came out of your mouth.
Well, it was an accident. It was an accident.
And long in front of it? I mean, come on, Kyle.
If I'm not on air tomorrow, KBN Nation, I probably
Yeah, solo strophe tomorrow on a Friday, apparently.
It was an accident.
All right, Jason, let's dive into this. We talked about this a bit this morning on Weekly Wilde, rather, but I want to talk about it now on Kyle, Brust, and Nortman. I think all of us kind of have the feeling walking away from Tuesday's trade deadline. The Packers on paper aren't better, but I don't think they're necessarily worse following the departure of Preston Smith, who was traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers. A couple days removed from that move, what's your pulse on this?
Yeah, we did talk about this on maybe we should rename the show Long Richard in honor of
Let's not do that. Nope.
I have already messed up, so I have no comment.
Good decision. We did talk about that on Weekly Wilde, and I think it's an interesting view for you because I think you're right. And a lot of times you have interesting views that are ridiculous.
Not so right.
I definitely don't think they're worse off. Now, could they be worse off? And Goody acknowledged this, so this is not something that he's not aware of. But could they be worse off if you suddenly have a rash of injuries, right, at defensive end? Because you're basically counting now on Rashawn Gary, Lucas Van Ness, Kingsley Enagbare, who I would think would be the opposite side of Gary in the starting unit. And then I would think LVN would be third. Then you've Aaron Mosby. Don't you think?
No, I know. I agree with you. I think that's disappointing.
I figured LVN would be the other starter.
Well, I mean, it'd be disappointing if your first-round draft pick is being outplayed by a fourth- or fifth-round pick from three seasons ago, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Enagbare has been better. And they do run a meritocracy over there, so he belongs, in my opinion, in the lineup first. Now, you know, they've got Carl Brooks, who can be a little versatile and can go outside. But otherwise, it's Aaron Mosby and then Brenton Cox, who has yet to be active for a game this season. So, you know, you lose a couple of guys off the top of that depth chart somehow. And obviously, you know, let's remember, Rashawn Gary missed half of a season with a torn ACL. So there's no guarantee there. We thought that Enagbare was going to be sidelined after what we thought was an ACL tear and what we were told was an ACL tear. In the Cowboys playoff game.
That's
so,
right. Yeah.
You know, as Goody said, you know, your depth can disappear quickly, and then you're asking yourself, man, maybe this wasn't such a good idea to trade Preston Smith. So, again, I don't think it'll come to that necessarily, but I agree with Strolf, which we should use that as a hotkey button at some point.
Wow.
I think you're right. I don't think they're better, but I definitely don't think they're worse.
Would that mean that your belief in, I believe it's Brenton Cox Jr. and Aaron Mosby, would that believe make you believe that you don't have much confidence in those guys coming along the way that Goody does?
No, I think he feels like they've got to get some opportunities, right? I mean, these are guys that have barely played. Aaron Mosby had the half sack against the Lions. He had played two previous snaps on defense before that. Two. That's it. And now he's up to a whole
wow.
seven. So he's
wow.
going to get some more
Big
opportunities
jump.
Than he's had. Yeah, huge jump. But so what I'm saying is that, you know, those guys are both clearly very unproven commodities. The reason why I'm with Strolf on this is not only did we find out that Preston Smith wasn't very happy in the new system and didn't think it was a good fit for him, but we also obviously, you know, have seen his playing time dwindle and his production dwindle. And so, you know, he's got zero sacks and two pressures over the last four games. That ain't good. And so if those are his numbers, I don't think it takes a whole lot for any of the two guys that we've never heard of largely to come in and be productive, as productive, because that's not very productive. So, you know, again, what's weird about this, and I totally acknowledge it, is that we're talking about a position that, in my opinion, the defensive line as a whole has been the most disappointing position so far this season. And you traded away the most experienced guy at the position, and yet Strolf and I are out here saying that it doesn't really matter. So
will that hurt the locker room, Jason? Do you think the locker room will be impacted by the loss? Okay, that's good to know. That makes me feel really comfortable.
The nugget that he requested a trade is interesting to me. I know it was because of the scheme, but I imagine it wouldn't have a huge impact. Go ahead, Jason.
Well, you're fine. But I do think it's also instructive that, you know, there were a couple of guys that I saw posting on social media, and certainly they like him as a teammate. Yeah. Like, there's no denying he was respected. So I don't want to make it sound like, oh, they traded him and nobody cares. Like, you know, I will say that when Za'Darius Smith finally had his malcontent season run its course, missed a crucial tackle in that playoff game against the 49ers, and then was on his merry way to get guaranteed money somewhere else. And if I recall correctly, and after they cut him, he like agreed to terms with one team, and then another team had more money to offer him, so then he went to that team. But the only person I remember being disappointed was Preston Smith, because they were really close. But beyond that, I think most guys felt like he had been malingering and that he could have been playing and wasn't, and that rubbed a lot of his teammates the wrong way. Nobody feels that way about Preston Smith. Guy missed one game in his Packers career. He was a good, good Packers player and a good teammate and a good locker room guy. Even though, and let's point this out too, like, we didn't know he was unhappy, and we didn't know that he requested a trade. Unlike, you know, Romeo Doubs, who didn't show up for work, unlike Jair Alexander, who got himself suspended. Like, again, Preston Smith is a pro, right? And he didn't make it a big public deal that he was unhappy or disgruntled. And then he got traded to another playoff contender, and he can line up opposite of T.J. Watt, and maybe he'll get some production that he wasn't getting here. But the bottom line is that, you know, that position, when Goody admitted in his response to me that we got to get more production from all those guys, but that includes Rashawn Gary, I thought that was a pretty damning statement, because anybody with eyes can see that that group has not been as good as they needed it to be.
Couple more minutes with our pal Jason Wilde, host of Wilde and Tash weekdays 9 and in. You also read his great work in the Wisconsin State Journal. I say that because, Jason, quick yes or no before I ask you my real question. Aaron Mosby, who we've mentioned a few times, had that sack last weekend. He spells his first name A-R-R-O-N, not A-A-R-O-N like normal Aaron's. A-R-R-O-N. Uh-huh. Does that bother you from a journalistic perspective?
No, it bothers me from the danger of misspelling his name, but he can, you know, his mom decided to spell his name that way. I'm okay with that. It is unusual. And I always think of, even though it doesn't fit, cause it doesn't fit the correct spelling, the key and peel Aaron. You done screwed up Aaron. Yeah.
Yeah. This is just Aaron.
That's really good.
Hey, Jason, right now me and Strofe have been talking about Jordan Love just because of the fact that that's one of the things that Rob Domofsky wrote about of something that could be concerning going into the second half of the season. Are you confident Jordan Love can turn this thing around?
Are you?
I am. I 100% am. 100%.
Yeah, so am I. I mean, turn it around. Like, let's not make it seem like he's played like god awful, right? I mean, he's
I know he has.
There's no denying that. 10 interceptions in playing 6.5 games is a lot. And I'm not sugarcoating that. I also, you know, I think I've been honest but slightly critical of him for that, and I think it's deserved. The mail must be here. But I would also say this, that, you know, he has to stop making the bad decisions at the most inopportune times. And to me, that has been the thing that if you're going to say he has to turn something around, which I think is a fine phrase, I don't have a problem with it, but that definitely has to be turned around. Like, you know, Strofe and I talked about it this morning too, when we were taping Weekly Wildy, like there was not a whole hell of a lot to gain from trying to get that ball to Josh Jacobs. And I totally get it, right? That was a design play for a deep shot to Jaden Reed, who was wide blank and open down the field. Unfortunately, by the time he had reached the point where he was turning his head back to look for the ball, Jordan Love was running for his life because the left tackle and left guard, Jordan Morgan and Rashid Walker, had lost control of each of their guys. And so he was under duress and wasn't able to make the play. Now, here's the thing. So now the play has been blown up. It's been ruined by protection. Don't make a bad play worse by then throwing the pick six into traffic and not seeing Kirby Joseph. Now, you know, I know that Josh Jacobs raised his hand, which is the international signal for I'm open. Even when Strofe is playing pickup basketball and wants the ball for a 30-foot three-pointer, but he wasn't open. There was a bunch of people there, and you know, Jordan Love, for better or for worse, is paid to make better decisions. Right? When you get the kind of contract he got, the expectation is for you to be smart enough to chuck the ball out of bounds. And, you know, I get frustrated with folks that think when we – because I was the first one doing this, quite frankly, and I'm not proud of that because it apparently irritates people. But I was the first one to compare him to Favre after the interception in print. I know – I'm sure you guys talked about it after the game right away. But after the L.A. game where he threw the ball into triple coverage to Reed and it worked, and then he threw the ridiculous stumbling, bumbling, fumbling, underhand pick six out of his own end zone as he was landing on his butt on the back line. Like, Dan Orlovsky ran through the back line. He landed on his butt on the back line. Like, that's Favre's stuff, good and bad. And in his case, you know, this is not 1997 anymore. Offenses are designed where you don't have to take quite as many risks. And he just needs to know that in that instance, throw it out of bounds. You're out of the pocket. So just as long as you get it to the line of scrimmage, you're in the clear. And instead, you know, and that was the death knell for them in that game. Like, LaFleur flat out admitted it. Like, you go in 10-3, you go in down 10-3, and even if the Lions get the ball on the opening kickoff, which they were going to do, and they do go in and score to make it 17-3, not insurmountable. Throw the pick six, go into halftime 17-3, they score on the opening drive, now you're down three touchdowns, it's all she wrote.
There you go.
Jason was excellent today.
Who said we're done with him?
Oh, we're not? Okay.
No, we are. Well, real quick, before we let you go, Jason, something I haven't asked you this week that I'm just curious
real
on.
Quick.
I think it will be. The Packers kicked a field goal in that game. I still haven't let this go. They were down 21. They made it 21, and they cut it to 18. They made a three-possession game on fourth and goal. Did anybody ask LaFleur about that decision?
So wait a minute. They made it.
It was 24-3. They kicked a field goal, I think it was either the end of the third quarter or beginning of the fourth quarter, to make it 24-6. So they made a 21-point game, an 18-point game, which made a three-possession game, a three-possession game on four. It was fourth and 16, but it was fourth and goal. So I was curious on that decision.
Well, so then if it becomes 18, right, then it's a get a touchdown. Let me see if I'm doing the math correctly. If they go for it and fail, it's still a three-possession game where you need three touchdowns. If they kick the field goal there and you've cut it to 18, it's two touchdowns now, right? So that's 14.
Yep.
Somewhere there's
still
gotta be a two-point conversion.
So it's 15.
And then you could tie with a field goal at like the buzzer if you get the ball back and you want Brandon McManus to try a 68-yarder in the pouring rain. Like, I mean, if it's anything less than fourth and 16, fourth and goal from the 16, he probably goes for the touchdown, right? Like, if it's fourth and 10,
I don't know.
Fourth and 8.
Based on that decision, I don't know the answer.
But nobody asked. We were all too busy trying to figure out why the heck a guy who threw one interception over a 9-game span, including the tour de force performance in the playoff game against the Cowboys, has now thrown 10 interceptions in a 6.5 game span.
No, it's completely fair. All right, Kyle, you can say it now.
Jason, this was amazing. Incredible. Great stuff. He agreed with me quite a bit. We're on the same page. That's how I judge it, Jason.
Yeah, all it took was
but based off what I like.
Well, and all it took was getting Brust out of the equation. I mean, you know, Brad, I don't think would have gummed up the works much, but gummed up the works. Yeah. Well, only one of us used inappropriate language, and good news is it wasn't me. So
yeah, it was an accident. But Ben's a little Richard sometimes, isn't he?
Well, I love Little Richard, underrated.
Tutti Frutti,
Little Richard.
Rudy. Since I've got you and Tausch loves to plan things on the air, is there a Sunday karma on Sunday?
Ooh, that's a good question. I believe there is. I am actually out of town on Sunday, but I believe there is because I had to tell executive producer Ashton Rotman to take me off the schedule. So I believe as of right now, there is a Sunday karma on Sunday, Jason.
All right. Well, I look forward to joining Craig.
You guys got anything else to cover on this conference call? Anything else you want to get in quick?
Well, I do want to put out there.
Yeah, I do want to ask Jason. Jason, are you good for 5:15 with Homer today?
I am.
Okay, good.
That is perfect, Chris.
Well done.
Bye, Jason.
Chris Larson. On that note, take care. Be good. Bye.
Oh, he was fired.
Great pop by Chris Larson. That was really good. All right. Oh, man. All right, we'll get to Chris Larson on the other side. We'll play some Becoming Relevant, Already Relevant, whatever we call it when Chris Larson is in for me. We do that next. It's Kyle Brust and Ortman live from X-Golf at AM Fan Field on ESPN Wisconsin.